In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever been in a boat in a storm? Yeah? I think about the closest that I ever had was we were living in Louisiana, and I go out with a buddy of mine to do some fishing down at the coast. And he had just, you know, just a regular little small skiff of a fishing boat, and said, "Hey, have you ever been out to an oil rig?" I said, "No." He said, "Come on, you know." Well, I didn't have a choice. I was in the boat with him. We go out. It was about 2 miles, 2 or 3 miles to an abandoned small oil rig where you can evidently do some good fishing. And as we were going, the wind started to pick up. It wasn't a storm, but I don't want to go through a storm. I mean, the going over the waves and boom, you know, just hitting where the boat bottoms out in the bottom of the trough of the wave. You know what I'm talking about? And the spray blowing in my face. And I'm not one. I don't ride any spinny rides, you know, when I go to Disney, because I just don't do well with that. Well, I don't do well with the boom, crash, up and down either. But I can't imagine what it would be like. Some of you can tell me stories later on. I'm sure they'll make my hair curl. But I don't want to be in a storm. And yet that's what two of our readings were about today. It was about people who were caught in storms out on the water in boats. And there's some similarities and there are differences. You know, one we read from Jonah is really about a prayer that Jonah prayed after the storm had come. And the other, we heard the entirety of it from Matthew about the disciples in the boat in the gale, you know, in the gale and this big waves and threatening to overturn the boat, I'm sure. And Jesus comes out walking on the water, and Peter joins him and nearly sinks. Anyway, we didn't hear the whole story about Jonah. Let me fill in a couple of details, and then we'll talk about the storms. All right, so Jonah, God wanted him to go to a certain city and tell those folks to repent. And Jonah didn't want to. He confesses later on. He says, I know, God, that if I go, that you're going to have mercy on them. And Jonah didn't like them, and he didn't want God to have mercy on him. So he tries to run and hide. He tries to go where hopefully God just isn't going to bother him. And takes a boat, evidently out towards Spain. And while they're out there, God causes a big storm to come up, to the point that it threatened to break the ship apart. Think about how bad a storm that has to be. I was in a little thing going over 6 foot, 5.5 foot waves. Anyway, I didn't know if we were going to make it. Now, the guy I was with, he was fine. He'd done this a bunch, right? But I didn't know if we were going to make it. But think about what it would be to be on a ship, something that has size, that carries cargo for the journey. And they're concerned that it could break up because of the storm. It was a pretty bad storm. And they don't know what to do, and they're throwing cargo off to try and make the ship lighter so that they can ride it out better. And they finally start figuring out, wait a second, this has to do with Jonah. And Jonah says, yeah, actually it does. And he confesses he's running from God. And so they don't know what to do, but they want him to get right with God. And Jonah said, really, the only thing that needs to happen is you need to throw me off the boat. You throw me off the boat, y'all are going to be okay. And so, being obedient, they throw him off the boat. And we find out at the end of the chapter that real quick, the storm went away. And then chapter 2 comes in, which is what we read today, where Jonah is praying and talking about what he went through. And Jonah ends up nearly drowning. Some say that maybe he did drown. Or maybe he was so close to it that whether or not you believe a fish really ate him, and if it was a whale or a whale shark or, you know, something that we don't know about. Anyway, evidently, as he's in this fish, and Jesus seemed to believe it happened, so I'm just going to kind of lean to whatever Jesus believed. Jonah prays, and some people think that he died right after this prayer and was resurrected when he was coughed up on the beach, and some people say he was kept alive, but he prays the prayer that we read today, and he talks about how he was under the waves and sinking down deep, and there was seaweed all around his head. Can you imagine what that was like before the waves calmed down, the throwing him under and seaweed getting wrapped around him? And you know, he calls out like he's calling out from the grave and prays this prayer. You don't have to have been in a boat in the wind and the waves to be going through storms, though. Because we go through storms in life. Some of you, there are enough of us here, I bet some of you are in a storm. Some are bigger than others. And some of you, if you told your story, we'd understand why you feel like the boat's about to break apart. And some of you may be in a skiff trying to make it back, you know, from the pier. But when we're in storms, what do we do? How do we react? What do we need to be aware of? Well, there are a couple of things. Let's compare and contrast just a little bit. Jonah's storm was one that came about because of Jonah. It was his fault. It was his fault. Jonah was running from God. He was being disobedient, and God was trying to get his attention. Some of the storms that you and I have are our own fault. We've caused it. It's because of our poor decisions. It's because of our disobedience. This may be we're just reaping the natural consequences of whatever, you know, we went ahead and bought the TV when we didn't. We knew we'd bounce the check, and now we've bounced the check, and now we're bouncing other checks. And, you know, some of it's just natural consequences, right? Some of it is we're being disobedient, and God is trying to get our attention. And God knows how to do it. He can do it with nations, and he can do it with you and me. But for Jonah, it was his fault. Jonah was the reason that the storm came. So, ask yourself, is my storm of my own making? Now, there were sailors on the boat with Jonah. Did they cause this to happen? No. No, but they were caught up in the storm that was of Jonah's making. And it wasn't their fault. They just had close proximity. Sometimes we're just close enough to the people that are going through the storm that it hits us. Sometimes it's a family member or a friend. And they're the ones that are making bad decisions. Or they're the ones that are being disobedient. Or they're the ones that aren't doing what they should be doing or doing what they shouldn't be doing, right? Sometimes it's them. And their life is blowing up. And it's not our fault. But just like in war, I understand that sometimes when the bombs fall, you get the shrapnel. And sometimes we're getting the shrapnel from somebody else's life. And the storm that we're in isn't of our own making. We're just close enough to the center of it. And sometimes that means we pay a price. That the people, check this, Jonah 1:5 says, "Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help, and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. They paid a price for what was Jonah's fault. They threw cargo off that their livelihood was based on, and maybe it was their very own rations, just trying to survive what was Jonah's fault. And that can happen. Storms can come on you that aren't your fault, and you pay a price. Sometimes, like with the disciples, where we read in Matthew, it's neither one of those things. This storm that comes up, this gale that's threatening to overturn the boat that the disciples are in, as they're crossing from one place or another on the Sea of Galilee, was it because they sinned? No. Was it because Jesus sinned? Definitely no. It's just one of those things that happened. Right? It just happens. Sometimes, because we live in a world that's a little broken and it's a little off kilter, and sometimes things happen. It ain't your fault. It isn't the fault of the people around you. When the economy fell apart and it took a hit years ago, was that the fault of anybody in this room? If it was, let's talk later on, right? I'm willing to bet it wasn't. Nor was it the fault of the people sitting around you, or the fault of the people that gather at your kitchen table. Sometimes things just happen, and you may have had to pay a price when storms just come up. Right? Jonah's storm was meant to correct Jonah and get him back on track. The disciples' storm wasn't meant for anything like that. It just was. And sometimes you get caught up in it. Either one of those. When Jonah is thrown into the sea, he nearly drowns. What would have made it go better for each one of these situations? Is there any way that Jonah and his shipmates could have avoided the storm? Yes. Jonah could have done what he should have done to begin with, right? If he had just gone to Nineveh, would God have sent the storm? No. It would have gone better if Jonah had done what he should. What about, we can talk about all the disciples, but let's focus in on Peter, right? We know what happened in that account. The gale is blowing, Jesus comes walking out. The disciples, even though they're rowing, they haven't made it too far, you know, because Jesus catches up with them. In his walking pace, he's passing them by. They aren't going very fast, right? Peter says, hey, I want to come out there with you. Jesus says, come on. And he steps out and starts walking toward Jesus. First of all, how cool is that? Right? I mean, I'd love to be in on that. I've heard from reliable folks that some of our Anglican friends in Africa, to get from one place to another, have actually walked over rivers to be able to get from one place to another to share the gospel. Isn't that cool? I want to be in on that, right? Okay. So Peter gets out. He's walking across. And what happens? Takes his eyes off Jesus, gets afraid, starts to sink. Could Peter have done anything to avoid that? Yeah, y'all have heard that story before, right? Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. Good lesson in that for all of us, right? And so he calls out to Jesus, and Jesus immediately reaches out his hand, pulls him back up. And read between the lines, they walk back to the boat. Otherwise, it would have said something like, and Jesus threw him with a mighty wave of his hand back into the boat. Or He picked him up on high and carried him. But reading between, they didn't say that. I'm figuring they just walked back to the boat kind of hand in hand, right? Still, very cool. Very cool. There's a lesson in that for us. There's a lesson in Jonah for us. Do what you need to do. Don't cause your own storm, right? If you're with somebody who's caused their own storm and you're getting buffeted too, speak up. Throw them overboard, somebody says. Toss them out. No. Try and get to the heart of the matter. I think that's a lesson for us. Wow. Pharisees back there somewhere? I don't know. I see a lot of smiles. Okay. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. Things go better when we're trusting Him. But sometimes you have to accept responsibility. Jonah definitely had responsibility in that. We find out that Peter had some responsibility. Things would have gone better for Peter if he had done it differently. Sometimes you have to let other people accept their responsibility. The sailors had to let Jonah accept their responsibility. A lot of times, our culture has developed in such a way that a lot of times we don't want people to feel bad. It's their fault, right? But we don't want them to feel bad, and we don't want to cast judgment and all that. So we cover the mistake or we say, don't worry about it. Actually, it's something to worry about. We have been called the children of a God, lest we forget, who is holy and awesome and has called us to be like Him. Who understood that a price had to be paid that He did not incur. He sent His Son to pay a price that we could not because it was that serious. And when somebody has responsibility to accept, we should come alongside them as they accept it. Don't try and shield it from oh, Jonah, oh, well, you did a bad thing, but I'm sure you feel bad about it. Let's keep on going. How well would that have gone? Would that have stopped the storm? No. Sometimes you have to let people accept responsibility for where they are. And that doesn't mean, as satisfying as it would be, to kick them off out of the ship, but to come alongside of them. And they have to accept it. We can walk with them through it as they accept it sometimes. But they have to accept it. Sometimes it's you, sometimes it's me, sometimes it's the people around us. Right? What Jonah and Peter both had in common. Any guesses? You could make a case for lack of faith, but they both did something in common. They called on the Lord. And things changed. First, things changed for Jonah when he said, "It's my responsibility. And I know I have to face it." Things started changing then. Right? When he faced his responsibility. And when he left the ship, it calmed down. It wasn't over for Jonah, though. Jonah started to drown. And as he was drowning, evidently, the fish saved him. You ever thought about it that way? God sends a fish as Jonah is sinking down to the bottom, surrounded by seaweed, unable to get to the surface. God saved him by sending a fish. I'd never thought about it that way before. And sometimes God is saving you or God is saving those close to you when they get swallowed up as a consequence of whatever's going on in their lives. It is not always an evil thing to be overcome by those things that beset us. Who sent the fish? God sent the fish. The application. You might go from a ship that's about to break up in a storm, and you accept responsibility, and then you get swallowed like you're a meal. And you think it's gotten worse. And in a way it has, and in a way that very thing is your salvation. Facing the consequences. It's all right. Because God was with him. And when Jonah called out to God, that's when the fish went to the shore. And Jonah carried on with what he was supposed to be doing to begin with. Peter, walking on the water, starts looking at the waves instead of the Lord, gets afraid, and the implication is that he stopped moving. The implication is he didn't carry on. Because to a Hebrew, faith has as much to do with persistence as it does with belief. It has as much to do with carrying on and continuing to be faithful as it does with having a belief that causes you to do something to begin with. This is the faithful floor in Hebrew because it's strong and persistent and unyielding. So part of what's going on here is that evidently, Peter quit moving. He stopped in the middle of a scary situation. You ever done that? If I'd only kept on going, I wouldn't have started to sink. And so when Peter is rebuked by the Lord, he says, "Oh, you of little faith." I don't think he's talking about what Peter believed. Evidently, Peter believed enough to say, "Hey, tell me to come with you." And he believed enough to get out of the boat, and he believed enough to start walking over there. And then he stopped. And Jesus says, "Oh, you of little persistence." Sometimes the storms you face, you just got to keep on going. But regardless, call out to the Lord because he is there. God was with Jonah, even though Jonah was disobedient. God loved Jonah and he was with him. God was with Peter. Peter was not disobedient. God is with you in your storm. Call out to him and he will save you. He's that good. Sometimes the storm is of your own making. Repent. Sometimes the storm is collateral damage because you're just close enough in proximity. Call them to account and walk with them through it. Don't take the consequences for them. God knows what he's doing with them. Sometimes there is no sin. It's just a storm. There's a big lesson besides calling out to God. There's a verse in each one of those. For Peter, it was, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? You of little persistence, why did you stop?" The implication is you could have kept on going. You could have done it. Do it next time, right? For Jonah says this thing in the prayer that is amazing to me. Verse 8, "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs." And that's what we risk if we won't repent of what's going on, that we're clinging to something and forfeiting the grace that God is offering. God was offering grace to Jonah through the whole thing. And Jonah kept running and the price kept getting higher. The storm was still getting worse when Jonah jumped off. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Don't forfeit the grace that could be yours. Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Recognize who God is. God is a God of glory, and He is strong. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. And then I wrote down this verse from the song that we sang this morning. And it's about being in a storm. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood for my soul and yours. Let's pray. Father, for those in this room who are like Jonah and we're in or entering the storm of our own making, oh God, have mercy and call us to repentance. For those who were on the ship with them, oh God, give us grace and help us to call them to account and to walk with them like we need to. And for those that are just caught in storms or those times that we enter storms, that has nothing to do with us. It's just the way it is. Oh God, help us to keep moving on and to keep our eyes on You. Oh Lord, keep us from holding on to idols and forfeiting the grace that You've offered us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.